Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from The Message. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing and how you can get involved, check out our website, message.org.uk.
I don't know about you guys, but I enjoy having favor. I enjoy being a favorite. It comes with privileges, it's nice, and it's fun. And as a sibling, as a child, one of the things you long for is to hear your parents say that you are their favorite child. Now, I'm the youngest of two children, and I always used to tell my sister that my parents stopped having children because they had reached perfection with me and because I was their favorite. They didn't need to have any more children. My mum and dad, they have never confirmed or denied this, but it's the truth that I have. And about a month ago, I went back down to London for my dad's 65th birthday, and we were having a meal. It was me, my older sister, mum and dad. And a conversation started between me and my sister, and for the life of me, I cannot remember what we were talking about. But my mum chimed in and said something. And after my mum said something, my sister was like, "Of course you're going to take his side. He's your favourite." Now again, my mum and dad, they never confirmed or denied this, but I was very satisfied to know that after all of these years of telling my sister that I was their favourite and that they had reached perfection with me, she also had finally come to that truth. Favour is fun. Favour is nice. It comes with privileges. On the 11th of August 2017, I had the awesome privilege of being a favourite man, also known as the best man, at Daniel Eduardo's wedding. Out of all the men that he had known up until that point in life, he chose myself and Jacob to be his favourite men and best men. And it was amazing. It was privileges. There was no awkwardness of checking your invitation, being like, "Am I invited to the meal? Or was it just after party?" I knew where I was going to be. We got to do a speech, which was amazing, reminding Daniel of all of his long list of girls before his now wife, Emily. Within the speech, we got to tell people about how Daniel nearly wet himself on his stag do. We got a front row seat to see Daniel cry whilst Emily was walking down the aisle. We got a front row seat to see Daniel's dad, his mum, his now sister-in-law and his brother break into spontaneous song. It was an amazing day. Lucy remembers all of these things. It was an amazing day. It came with a lot of privileges. It was nice and it was fun. Favour is fun, but favour is also fickle. If Daniel was to choose his favourite men today, would it be me? What happens when he goes to Brazil? Are we still going to be favourite and best men? Who knows? Ooh, look at that. If I was to ring up my mum today and cuss her out, not only would there be an issue between me and my dad, but that spot of favourite child will swiftly be exited. Favour is fun, but favour is also fickle. Think about Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he grew in favour with man and God. But was it these same men that asked for his crucifixion? Was it the same men that said, "Give us Barabbas"? Was it the same men that pulled out his beard, spat on him, slapped his face? On one hand, he had favour, but it's fickle. It also comes with a lot of baggage. If you're the favorite of somebody, there's always going to be hate from somebody else. Think about it. Joseph and his brothers. Joseph was a favorite. He had hate by his brothers. Daniel and the rest of the guys in Babylon, there was issues there as well. Favor comes with a lot of baggage. You always have to maintain that favor of man. And you can always be one step away from losing it. And if you don't have the substance to back up that favor, it's all going to show in the end. And that's what we see in today's passage that was read to us by Becca. Favor comes against the truth, and the truth always trumps favor. And if you don't have the substance to back up the favor, you're going to fall short. Over 3 times in 10 verses, we hear about a group of Jews having been given favor. Verse 27 of chapter 24, verse 3 and 9 of 25. And whilst we know favour comes with privileges, favour is nice and favour is fun, actually for this group of Jews, favour wasn't what they were after. That wasn't their end goal. They wanted Paul dead. Acts 23 says this, verse 12. The next morning, some Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves together with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we have killed Paul." Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petitioned the commander to bring him before you and on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about his case. We are ready to kill him before he gets there. Verse 3 of Acts 25, our passage for today, says, they, these same Jewish men, they requested Festus as a favor to them to have Paul transferred to Jerusalem, for they were preparing an ambush to kill him along the way. They wanted Paul dead. And whilst they had the favor that they thought would help them achieve their aim, they couldn't execute their plan for a number of reasons. They didn't have the substance to validate the favor. Verse 7 says, when Paul came in, the Jews who had come from Jerusalem stood around him. They brought many serious charges against him, but they could not prove them. Favor had got them in the room. But when the rubber hit the road, they couldn't execute their plan because they had no substance. Not only did they not have any substance, but they had come against the truth. Not just the truth that Paul had done nothing wrong, but the truth of who he was and whose he was. Paul knew this and he exercised that right. Not only that, but Paul had the words of truth from the truth in his ears. Paul had the message of truth on his lips. And Paul had a vision of the truth in his eyes. Let me tell you this, guys. No matter what you come against up in life, the truth that is everlasting, the truth that is eternal, the truth that is uncreated, the truth that is alive, who is King, who is Lord and has a name and his name is Jesus, he always wins. Paul knew the truth of who and whose he was and what that meant. Verse 10 says, I'm now standing before Caesar's court where I ought to be tried. I have not done any wrong to the Jews, as you yourself know very well. If, however, I am guilty of doing anything deserving death, I do not refuse to die. But if the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true, no one has the right to hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. As a Roman citizen, Paul had his privilege of appealing to Caesar, which meant taking the trial out of the hands of the Jews, taking the hands out of Festus, and putting it in front of Caesar in Rome. Now, everything would have had to been done to make sure he got to Rome. An ambush would not have been a good reason why he didn't get to Rome. Paul knew this, and he exercised this right, which in essence saved his life. What about us? Do we know the truth of who and whose we are, and are we exercising that right today? If you have given your life to Jesus and he is your Lord, you are a citizen of heaven. And the Bible talks extensively of what that means and what that looks like. Do we know this truth and are we exercising our position? Are we living as slaves of righteousness or slaves of sin? Are we free from the power of sin? Are we binding and loosing things as they are in heaven here on earth? Are we expressing love, joy, and peace? Are we as ambassadors of his kingdom, advancing his kingdom? Paul knew the truth of who and whose he was and what that meant. What about you and me? Paul had the words of truth from the truth in his ears. Acts 18 verse 9 says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. This was Paul in Corinthians. In Acts 22 verse 17 says, when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance. I saw the Lord speaking to me. Quick, he said, leave Jerusalem immediately, because the people here will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these people know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who are killing him. Then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Acts 23 verse 11. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify about me in Rome. From the moment of his conversion, Paul had the words of truth from the truth in his ears, which sustained him, encouraged him, guided him, gave him confidence to go, and so much more. What about us? We may never hear the audible voice of our Lord Jesus Christ, but do we have the words of truth from the truth in our ears? Let's not take for granted the Bible. It is the audible voice of God in this book. It's the words of truth from the truth. Let's be people that read it, that hear it, and obey it. Paul had the words of truth from the truth in his ears. Paul had the message of truth on his lips. Everywhere and anywhere Paul went, he would tell people of the truth. He would tell people about his encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road. He would tell people about his life before that encounter and who he is now. And he would tell people about Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and coming again. Paul had the message of truth on his lips. What about us? In 8 days' time, we have this amazing thing called Festival Manchester. It's going to be amazing. We're going to tell thousands of people about Jesus. Some people will do it from stages. Some people will do it in one-to-one conversations. The message of Jesus Christ will be on our lips on that day. But what about pre-festival? What about post-festival? It's the message of the truth on our lips. And are we willing to tell it no matter the situation, no matter the outcome? Today, as you go to lunch, it's the message of truth on your lips. And are you willing to tell it? When you go do your weekly shop, it's the message of truth on your lips. And are you willing to tell it? When you're sitting in a car with your Uber driver, it's the message of truth on your lips. And are you willing to tell it? Paul had the message of the truth on his lips. And at every moment, no matter the cost, no matter the outcome, he told it. And Paul, he had a vision of the truth in his eyes. Acts 9 talks about Paul's conversion, where he's on the road with a task and a mission, but is interrupted by a light from heaven. And Paul, he addresses this light as Lord. Not only does Paul hear Jesus, but he sees Jesus. And for the next 3 days, he sees nothing. The last thing that was imprinted on his mind was the glorious Lord Jesus in all of his light. That must have left an impression. That must have. Heaven and eternity are imprinted on his mind and eyes. And from that moment on, that's his focus. What about us? Do we have the vision of the truth in our eyes? If not, let's press in to see him for who he is, risen and glorious, king for eternity. And then as a result, let us live lives with that focus. Friends, favor, it's nice and it's fun, but it's also fickle and come with a lot of baggage. And if you don't have the substance to back up that favor, you'll fall short. The truth, he is alive and his name is Jesus. Do we know who and whose we are? And are we living that out? Do we have the words of truth from the truth in our ears? Do we have the message of truth on our lips? And do we have a vision of truth in our eyes? Are we earthly focused or are we eternity focused? Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your example. And thank you that favor from you is great. Would we grow in favor with you and man just like your son did? But Lord, would we not rely on that favor? Would we have the substance to back it up? Would we be people who know who we are and know whose we are? Would we be people that have the words of truth in our eyes, in our ears even, and on our eyes? Would we be people that have the message of truth on our lips? And will we be people that have a vision of the truth in our eyes? And would that be our focus? Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen.
Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support our work or even get involved with one of our teams. We also have another podcast called The Flow Podcast, where we share stories and testimonies of the amazing things that God's doing in people's lives. Search for The Flow Podcast on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.